Let's sing. Thank you, team. Ooh, surrender all. Easy to sing, a little harder to do. Not impossible, because with God all things are possible. And God has called us to surrender all when He called us to be disciples. That is what we are to be. We are not to be just Christians. We're not just to be churchgoers. We are to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Obedient followers that are willing to put everything on the line to serve our Lord. To go wherever the Lamb may lead us. To fulfill what He has called us to be, His church. To go out and make disciples. To be able to share the gospel. To be able to answer their questions. And that's where we find ourselves in this discipleship study. Is what it means to be a disciple. And we've been in it now since before the holidays, understanding what a disciple is. And now we're in the section where we are going to be answering the tough questions. A lot of people have been told not to believe in God because there's a natural world history that seems to say there is no God. And there is no God needed for life to be here, for us to exist, for life to have meaning and purpose. There's all these tough subjects that people attack from the Bible, that it's unscientific, it's just not real. Even last week, there was a news article on Fox News saying the Bible is a fantasy. It's being mocked. So we're in this session called, Be Ready to Give a Reason for Your Hope. The Bible tells us, instructs us as disciples in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. This is from the Greek apologia, which means to give a defense. And it doesn't mean to argue. It doesn't mean to, you know, debate. Or this is just if someone says, why do you believe in the Bible? Can you answer that? Give them a good answer. Not just why believe, but why you believe. You see, we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. It'll make us stronger in our faith. It'll make us stronger disciples. And people are more willing to follow people who really know what they believe and why they believe it. Would you want to follow someone on a trek through the wilderness who didn't know how to use a compass and didn't know anything about survival in the woods? No. You'd want someone who was knowledgeable to follow. The same here. There are a lot of people, and as life gets harder, and it's going to get harder this year, people are looking for hope. They're looking for someone to give them answers of what's going on in the world. And that is what we've been called to do. 80% of our young people are walking away from the church because the church has not equipped them for the world. So that is why we are doing what we're doing. And we've been looking at many subjects in the last couple of weeks. And we are on the worldwide flood of Noah. How do we know this really happened? So we started last week, Noah's worldwide flood. And we're going to be in it for a few weeks because I got a lot of information here. So we started this last week. We started looking at the pre-flood world. Before we actually get to the flood itself, we were looking at the world that was destroyed by that flood. And it was an amazing world. The Bible teaches that the world was not mostly water after God formed it on day six. It was mostly land, lush land, beautiful. But that's not what we're taught today in school. We're taught the opposite. Now, any theory that is taught from the public school system, college, wherever, even in churches, if it goes 180 degrees opposite of what the Bible says, you know that theory is not from God, but from the enemy. You see, the enemy wants you not to believe in the Bible. Because see, this is the word that sanctifies us. This is the word that sets us free. This is the word that equips us, makes us complete for every good work that God calls us to. The Word is our sword. It is our life. The Word that became flesh. He doesn't want you to believe in the Word of God. He doesn't want to believe what the Word said about the pre-flood world, how amazing it was. The world that humanity lost. Basically, humanity lost paradise for sin. For simple sin, humanity lost paradise. Hopefully I'll get to that today and show you what it was. But see, we left off last week with this Pangaea. There was a supercontinent. All the continents that we see today used to be clumped together in one big supercontinent. So the earth had some land, but it was still mostly water as we see it today. And then the continent started to drift apart over literally a billion years. And we can't even fathom what a billion years is. But between 1 billion and 750 million years ago, the continents started to drift apart. And you have to go real slow when the plates and the continents, the crust, are moving. Because if you move a continent just 1 inch quickly, scientists have said it'd create a tsunami that'd go around the world killing all life. So it has to be done very, very slowly. So you need millions and millions of years. Even though the Bible does not teach millions of years. And we're going to get to that. They want you to believe this. Go to the next slide, Levi. They want you to believe that the continents used to fit together. Perfect fit. And then they just slowly started to move it apart. Quick one, Levi. This is what they want you to believe. Over 750 million to 1 billion years ago, the continents drifted apart. and slowly became what we know today. And all of a sudden, Central America disappears. That's what they want you to believe. This theory came to be in 1912. And it's based on plate tectonics. Next slide, Levi. We do have plate tectonics. There is no doubt the plates exist. The fault lines exist around the world, all around the world. And we have a major fault line running through California. San Andreas, we're all waiting for that one to happen, right? Because everything, when I moved, we moved here, we're like, we started, you know, this is like my fourth or fifth, I can't remember, living in California. Each time I said I left California, I'd never be back. Don't say that to God. Okay? So here I'm back in California again. But we know earthquakes, you know, and they said that if that big one ever happens, everything on the west side of I-5 goes. Everything on, why I-5? I have no idea. But if you're on the east side of I-5, you got ocean front property. So the plate tectonics are real. We know that. And they want you to believe that the plate tectonics have been there since the very beginning. And that's not what the Bible teaches. At the end of God's creation on day 6, He said it's all very good. You see, tectonic plates are destructive in nature. Nothing was destructive. Nothing was harmful in God's creation. It was very good. Go to the next slide, Levi. The scientific theory of plate tectonics, and it's real. The plate's shifting and moving because the earth's crust is cracked. But see, this theory, this movement of the plates, it includes mountain building events. What is that? Can you imagine the event to build a mountain? Do you think it's going to be peaceful? No, destructive. Volcanoes. We got five of them around us, I think. Five volcanoes. You guys ever seen that movie, Dante's Peak? Got volcanoes, earthquakes. Plate tectonics is a destructive force. Next slide, Levi. As one plate goes under the other plates are raised up and it causes all sorts of chaos. It's a destructive force. It's not part of the original creation. Now, the plates do exist, but the question is, when did the earth's crust crack apart all over the world? We'll discover that in this study. We know the exact moment when the earth, which was very good, cracked all apart. And we started having plate tectonics. But see, they want to take plate tectonics and they want to basically say over a billion years, it explains everything. The rocks have told us how the land moved apart. There is no six-day creation, how life and everything came because the plates and the continents moving. Show the next video, Levi. Pretty sure those rocks didn't tell them all that stuff. Now, there were some interesting things they said in there, and they always make these claims, and they never give you how this happened. Next slide, Levi. It says here, the map fills in a crucial gap in Earth's history, a time when the climate was swinging from icy extremes, next slide, to super hot greenhouse conditions. Is that climate change or what? Why are they so worried about climate change today if climate has been changing for a billion years from icy cold to tropical? Why is it such a threat today? that it's warming up by 1 degree. That's a whole other subject that I can show you is completely false. It's designed to get control of people and to make money. In 1978, I got a video of Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy, telling us in 1974, I think, that by the time the grandchildren of that generation are adults, they're going to be living in an ice age. It's all about control and making money. Look what it also says. After these plate tectonics moved, then boom, climate change there. But according to them, oxygen came from what? How did the oxygen get here? If you go back and listen to how they say the universe formed, there was nothing there and nothing exploded. And out of this explosion formed everything. And planets were hot, molten mass. The Earth was a hot, molten mass. Not like the Bible says, covered with water. No, it was the opposite. Hot, molten mass. And over millions and millions of years, the molten hardened. So we had a rock planet. It was just rock, because then when molten dries, it's rock. Magma dries. And so we had a rock planet. And then they say over millions of years, it rained and formed the oceans. Amazing, because they say that the rain of the flood couldn't cause the flood, but rain over millions of years caused the oceans. Where'd the rain come from? To have rain, you have to have water evaporating into the atmosphere for the rain. They never explain that. They just say, hey, it was a molten mass, it hardened, and then over time it rained enough to form the oceans. And then basically life came from that, out of the ocean, the primordial swamps and ocean. And we're going to get to that when we get to evolution. But basically, you came from nothing. That's what they want you to believe. That's what Satan wants us to believe. So we don't look to a God. We look to ourselves. We try to find and solve our problems, and we can't, because the problem is us. And it's sin. And we're going to end up dying in our sin because we're trying to believe in things that just aren't true, so we can live and do what we want. But there's a cost, because there's a judgment. But here they say, all of the planets or the continents moved, and boom, there was this injection of oxygen from nowhere. Next slide, Levi. Then multicellular life appeared. Do you know how we talked about life? We talked about DNA. We talked about the complexity of life. How did it just happen? It doesn't. We'll get to that again when we get to evolution. But suddenly life appeared. So there it is. Pangea, millions and billions of years. Then we're just life forms that evolved. There is no right. There is no wrong. There is no good. There is no evil. There is no God to judge you. So don't worry about it. Just live your life the way you want. Oh, you want to be something that you're not? Fine. Make your own reality. That's where we live today. This Pangea is a lie. And I want to show you. Because to make Pangea happen, they have to change the maps. Test this with any map. They try to give excuses for what I'm about to show you, as though, well, it's really hard to draw a circular globe sphere map on flat. So everything's not exactly the same size. They give this whole line of reasoning for this. But I find it very hard to believe. But they want you to believe in Pangea. They want you to believe that the continents seem to really fit together. But to do that, they have to change the size of some of the continents. Highlight America there for me, Levi. Everybody agree that I did pretty good highlighting the United States, at least the continental United States? All right. Click one, Levi. All right, let's put the United States over South America. Now, you notice that it extends into the Pacific Ocean, all the way across the continent, and into the Atlantic, right? Here's the actual size. That's the actual size. So why do our maps, world maps, show something different? Click again, Levi. Do it again. One more time. All the way into the Pacific, all the way across into the Atlantic. But it's not just South America. One more time, Levi. Africa. Now, if you notice, the tip of the United States is right on the coastline of Africa. It extends all the way across Africa, and then on the east coast there, the New England area, it crosses the Red Sea into Saudi Arabia. But here's the actual size of the United States when you Google it compared to Africa. It doesn't touch the east coast, and it doesn't extend outside the west coast into Saudi Arabia. Let me show you again. Do it. Do it. Wow. Something's not right with our maps. Click it one more time. They're off. Sometimes they shrink Africa 40% to make it look smaller, so it looks like it used to connect to South America. They want you to believe in a lie. And for you to believe in the big lie that there is no God, you have to have a lot of little lies to support the big lie. Next slide, Levi. So over there we got Pangaea and we got how the Bible describes the earth in the beginning. Satan wants people to believe in a natural world, that nothing caused everything, so he can lead them into destruction because he hates what God has created. But the Bible teaches us the earth was beautiful. It was good. It was lush. It was green. And there's lots of scientific evidence we're going to go over to cover that. And remember, the pre-flood world was covered in a canopy of water. Next slide, Levi, Genesis 1. 6-8. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters. Remember, the planet was covered with water. He wanted a firmament, a place in between the water that was on the earth and the water that he pulled off the earth. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus, God made the firmament and divided the waters from which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was. And God called the firmament heaven. There's three heavens in Scripture. The first heaven is the atmosphere where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the space is at stars. And the third heaven is the place that the Apostle Paul was called up to and said it was paradise. This water layer around the earth had some very unique characteristics that it would place upon the earth. It would cause this amazing world to be what we would call paradise conditions. Now this layer of water pulled off the earth, around the earth, would freeze at the high levels that it was at, elevation it was at. And it had some profound effects. The first one would be warm temperatures and greenhouse effects. Next slide, Levi. This water layer, scientists would have studied, if there was a water layer condensing the atmosphere, it would act like a greenhouse. And it would make the whole world warm. Even the South Pole and North Pole and South Pole. Right now we have ice up there and glaciers and freezing temperatures and you can't live there. But if the Bible is correct, when God first created, there wasn't no ice. There was no ice up there. There was no snow. It was warm, tropical conditions. If the Bible is correct, this canopy would create a greenhouse effect around the whole world. Well, lo and behold, look at this. In February 2009, study, North Pole was once tropical. Now, they say it was 55 million years ago. I disagree. We'll get to that later. In fact, 55 million years ago, the Arctic was a lot like Miami, with an average temperature of 74 degrees. Next slide, Levi. Ancient climate change, boy, climate change has been around a long time, meant Antarctica was once covered with palm trees. This was 2012. And yes, they do find palm trees, and they find animals that are not Arctic animals under the ice. They find a bunch of crazy stuff under the ice. They have found palm trees, redwood trees. You see, the earth used to be lush and complete, and God told Adam and Eve, go fill the earth. It was designed to be filled with people. Today you always hear the world is overpopulated. Well, we have a lot less land than we used to, but still the earth is not overpopulated. Another subject for another day. So warm temperatures and greenhouse effect, that's the first thing this canopy of water would cause. And I guess that's why Adam and Eve didn't need to worry about going clothes shopping. Right? They didn't. It was perfect conditions. Everything was innocent and good. But also this water layer around the earth, it would block out the dangerous X-ray and ultraviolet radiation from the sun. And condensing the atmosphere, keeping it in where it doesn't escape out into space, it would create more oxygen. So you got warmer conditions. The bad, harmful rays from the sun that destroys everything is blocked. Just the light and the heat. And we have richer oxygen and carbon dioxide, and plants need carbon dioxide. So you got these perfect conditions. According to experiments recorded in Time magazine, they started looking at amber, which is fossilized tree sap. And they found little pockets, little bubbles in the amber. And when they drilled into it, just like Jurassic Park, when they drilled into it, they tested the air that was trapped in there. And it had a 50% higher oxygen than we have today. Now, if maybe some of you medical people, Gary, how would a person feel with 50% more oxygen breathing? Really good. You'd feel really good. Be like, wow, you know, than we have today. Make you be able to run faster, longer. Your blood would become oxygen saturated. You could be a lot stronger. You could work and just go. So, amber, like you see right here, is what we're talking about. And they've drilled into those and they've tested the air quality. It had better air than we have today. So, next slide, Levi. So we have the blocking of dangerous X-rays and ultraviolet radiation from this canopy. We know that the air pressure used to be better, 50% more oxygen. And before the flood, and shortly after the flood, but definitely before the flood, the Bible records the age of people at an average lifespan of 912 years old. Today, it's 70 to 80. The living conditions were awesome pre-flood. Amazing. We have scientific evidence showing the tropics at the North and South Pole. Just like the Bible says, it was beautiful. It was very good. People lived longer back then. Also in these living conditions, you know you have a good condition when bugs thrive. Okay, unfortunately, you got great conditions when bugs thrive. With these great living conditions for humanity, it also affected bugs and animals. They lived longer and they were bigger back in the day. Let me show you this next slide. Today, those are average dragonflies that we have today. What you see in that stone is a fossilized dragonfly. Its wing. Right here, it'd have about 4 to 5 foot wingspan. Today, they're like this. Back in the pre-flood world, they were big. Imagine that hitting your windshield at 70 miles an hour. Okay? Next slide, Levi. Anybody know what that is? It's a flea. Yeah. Next slide. Fossilized giant tarantula. How many of you guys like spiders? There's always a freak or two, yeah. I hate spiders. I was camping down here south one time, this was years ago, and we got to this, it was Mary Lake, it was Lake Berryessa, I think. Was it Berry? I forget. But anyway, we got out there and we were going to sleep out in just under the stars. But when we were setting up, I felt something on my leg and I looked down and there was this big tarantula looking spider walking. And I hit it off and it bounced like 6 feet away. That thing put up its front legs and it charged me. I mean, I put him out of his misery real quick, but it charged me. And then it was like, wow. And then we realized we were all sleeping on the ground and we didn't have a tent. Yeah. But imagine something that big. That's not including the legs. That's just the part of the body is the size of a human hand. That's a big spider. How about 6 foot centipedes? They have found fossilized. Next slide here. One as big as a car. This one was found in 2021. It's a millipede. I'm not sure the difference between a millipede and a centipede, but at 9 feet long, it doesn't really matter, does it? Now, they say it's 326 million years old. We'll prove that that's not true in this study. It's the pre-flood world. It was an amazing world, folks. Amazing. Next slide. Fossilized cockroach. That's a big cockroach. 18 inches to 24 inches. Back in the day, John wouldn't go to work with a sprayer. He'd go to work with a gun. You also had, and you can, you know, the plant life was bigger. Better living conditions. So if you have really big trees, you need really big beavers, right? There's a giant fossilized beaver they found. Now, it's amazing. It looks just like the beavers of today. It's just bigger. Now, you can test this. You can test what I'm teaching you here. The pre-flood world was amazing. You can Google, go on and type in giant fossilized and pick a creature of today. And boom, lo and behold, we found them. Why? Because everything in the pre-flood world was bigger. Giant beavers. How about giant turtles? You know, most sea turtles, you can, if you're a big guy, you can pick up, right? They're still pretty big, but you can pick them up. That's a big sea turtle. Next slide. Looks just like the sea turtles we have today, but just bigger. Because those perfect living conditions that God said was very good. Alligators. Modern day size right there and the big one that we found. That's a big crocodile. How about fish? Next slide, Levi. Now, they want to say that this is a megalodon, an ancient shark. They used to be between 40 and 60 feet. But it's the exact same design as with the great white today. But sharks are made of cartilage, which is not tough bone, so it dissolves. So all that's usually left of the sharks are the jaws or the teeth. And Rich, who's not here with us now, he's got some of these megalodon teeth. Maybe he'll be back in time later in this series and we can show you. But they call megalodon a different species, but all it is a very, very big great white shark that we have today. Everything was bigger back then. You know, people make fun of the Bible saying, hey, there's no whale that has a throat big enough to swallow a man, as in the story of Jonah. Oh, that's just stupid. Well, first of all, the Bible doesn't say whale, does it? It says a big fish. Would that rate as a big fish? Yeah. So insects, animals, plants did much better in this pre-flood world. Next slide, Levi. Dr. Kei Morai, I guess that's how you pronounce his name. A physicist from Keio University in Japan worked with a cherry tomato plant that started in his basement. He gave light to the plant with a fiber optic cable, which filtered out the harmful rays of the sun. The canopy would have, in the pre-flood world, would have filtered those rays out. He filtered the rays out and gave pure light to this tomato plant. He also added pressure, CO2, because plants take in carbon dioxide. He pressurized CO2 in a gasket around the stem and root system, like the pressure we have found in the pre-flood world with more oxygen, more carbon dioxide. The atmosphere was condensed. He did that to the root system. At some point, this plant was moved to a greenhouse, which also simulated these conditions. Within 2 years, the tomato plant had reached 16 feet tall. This is a tomato plant with 800 tomatoes on it. And his tomatoes were not cherry size. They were like softball size or baseball size. In 16 years, it was reported at 45 feet tall with 15,000 tomatoes. Here, the next picture is a scaffolding when they were putting, next picture, Levi, scaffolding there with this tomato. They had to build scaffolding to support this tomato plant. That writing down at the very bottom, which I know you can't read, but it says this, 10,000 tomatoes to date. That's how many tomatoes it's produced. It was under a huge canopy lens that blocked the harmful rays from the sun. That's what it says there in that little section down below. Let me show you this video. Did you notice how many plants that is? One. There's all the listen. Go when it goes back to the other plants, it'll show you. That is one tomato plant. All right, next slide, Levi. All right, you see the stems, the roots. That's one tomato plant. We call them plants. He's got them being trees. Now, the question here, why hasn't the world heard of this man? When I bring him up, no one's ever heard of him. No one's ever heard the work he's done simulating the pre-flood conditions to plants. How much more produce would we have in the world? This is truly amazing. Maybe people don't want his work known because it proves the Bible. They can't have that. Folks, this pre-flood world that God said was very good, that was an underestimate. I mean, to us, it'd be an understatement. Perfect living conditions. All around the world. Most of the world beautiful and lush. Huge plants. Huge bugs, huge animals, but they weren't like they are today. The animals didn't start being fearful of man until after the flood. And there were some really amazing animals during the pre-flood world. Yes, I'm talking about dinosaurs. Dinosaurs and man did not live 65 million years apart. We can prove that with science, and we will get there. We will get to the dinosaurs, I promise you. It's amazing. But imagine this pre-flood world. This is what it's going to go back to during the millennial reign of Christ. And then there's the new heaven and new earth in Revelation chapter 21. Folks, we got a lot to look forward to. The pre-flood world. What brought this paradise to an end? Sin, right? Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, which is Satan, and he's in appeared as a serpent. He's a spiritual being. They can do that. He appeared as a serpent because Adam and Eve already knew him as Lucifer, a good angel who was in the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us he was in the Garden of Eden before sin was found in him. So he had to come in a disguise, or they would have realized who he was. Interesting things about the animals. There's some other really interesting characteristics I'm not going to go into. But I do find it, I'll give you a hint. I do find it interesting that Eve wasn't surprised a serpent was talking to her. There might be a reason. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle. Moreover, all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go. Oh, people have mocked this passage. They have mocked the Bible. Well, snakes on legs, come on. Of course snakes are on their belly. They've always been on their belly. How stupid for the Bible. This is just, they just attacked the Bible for this. Until 2015, unexpected step, snake ancestor head, what? 4 feet. 2015, they discovered this. In the article, it says this. Next slide, Levi. The oldest snake fossil on record looks almost like the modern snake, except it had one glaring difference. It had 4 feet with 5 digits. Here's the fossil they found. Snake. No doubt it's a snake. Next slide, Levi. But it had legs. Go back. See the little legs down there? You can barely see it in there, but now we zoom in. Now go. There it had the legs and the 5 digits. Wow. Amazing. Next slide. Scientists finally know why snakes lost their legs, though. It says they evolved to live in the sea. Duh. But I have a question with that. How many snake species live in the sea? A couple, maybe? Eels live, but not snakes. Most snake species live on the land. But see, they have to admit, wait a minute, we found a fossil and it got out. It had legs. Wow, we better come up. How did it have legs? Well, they lost their legs because they evolved to live in the sea, but most of them live on the land. So if they evolved and lost their legs when they moved into the sea, then the ones that came back, why didn't they evolve their legs back? It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Yeah. Most people in history, in our country, have never heard of snakes having legs until 2015. True fact. Everyone believes snakes were snakes, as always, slithering on their belly. But in 2015, we found out snakes used to have legs. But even now, today, most people in the world don't know about it. You would have probably never heard about it unless I had told you. It's not something they advertise in the scientific community. They got out, and they had to try to explain it, and then they tried to bury it. Because this goes against everything that they have taught, and it proves what they hate. See, the question is, how did the Bible know 4,000 years ago when Moses started writing it around there. How did they know snakes had legs back then? Think about it. You see, God authored this book. And God knows the beginning to the end. He created everything he knows. And he penned it through human writers. But the Bible says that once snakes had legs. And it took till 2015 But the Bible was confirmed again by science, trying to catch up to God's Word. The pre-flood world. We lost paradise. We lost an amazing world better than anything man could contemplate. It's warm tropical temperatures. How many of you would love to be in the Caribbean right now? Yes, I would too. Everything was bigger and better. Forests, plants, animals, probably humans as well. You see, when you learn about God's Word and you learn the truth from science, the evidence that supports God's Word, it should change how you live your life. It should change how you think. You see, back in the day, I was kind of a male chauvinist. Okay? Male chauvinism is sinful. Feminism is sinful. We should all just be perfectly get along, appreciating one another. But anyway, I like still to play the male chauvinist because it makes my wife mad. And I like to push her buttons. Sometimes I like to push certain women in the church, their buttons a little bit, so play male chauvinist because it's fun. And you see, I used to teach and I have jokes about Eve. Right? Eve was the downfall of humanity, right? She ate first. And I used to have jokes like, Eve was the first woman to eat man out of house and home. And I had all these little Eve jokes. And I thought I was cool saying them. And then I started studying apologetics, and I started studying the pre-flood world. And I realized everything was bigger, probably Adam and Eve. Eve was probably like an Amazon woman. And then it hit me. She's probably waiting for me. First thing I'm going to see when I get to heaven is not Jesus. It's going to be Eve going, I've been waiting on you. And I'm looking up at a woman that was probably big. You see, evolution teaches we used to be small, little monkeys, 3-foot monkeys. We're going to get to this and destroy this. But over time, we evolved and became human. We're bigger and better. No, the fossil record proves otherwise. We used to live longer, not today. We were not as big as the people are. They're not stupid, crazy giants or some of these lunatics, but they were probably a lot bigger than we are. And we do have evidence to prove that. And that's why I'm not going to say any more Eve jokes. Okay? Pre-flood world was amazing. We lost so much. But if you're in Christ today, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to see a world like this again. You're going to experience things and see things no one has seen for several thousand years. All right. In this series, I'm going to go right up to 12 o'clock and then I'm going to stop. I don't know how far I'll get each sermon, but I got to this. So when we come back next Sunday, boom, next slide, Levi. We're going to look at Noah's Ark, the Ark itself, and the animals. How did he fit all those animals on that Ark? Is it even possible? We're going to look at all the evidence that the animals could all fit on there easy. And then we will get to where did all the water come from? And then we will finally get to the scientific evidence of a worldwide flood. So stick with me on this journey. Keep coming back. We're going to learn a lot about good stuff from science, God's Word. We don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed to say, I believe in a worldwide flood. Because my God is awesome and my God can do all sorts of things. And it's not that there's no evidence. There's tons of evidence. God judged the world once. He's going to judge it again. He's given us evidence that He judged the world. So you better be warned because there's a judgment coming. And you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. The one who died for you. The one who shed His blood so that you could be washed clean from all your sins. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to come and talk to me. so I can explain to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that'll save us. Thank you for coming today. I hope your NFL team wins. Whatever NFL team you have. May you have a wonderful week in the Lord. I will be praying for you. If you need anything, I'm just a phone call away. Or come in. We're usually here during the week. So why don't we go ahead and stand up and we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We thank you, Lord, give us vision. Give us a vision of what that pre-flood world was like. Let us ponder on that and imagine this amazing world you created. And it was very good. And it was all lost. And the world we live in today, even though it is still pretty in many ways, it is wasted real estate. It is what's left over from a world that we would call perfect, amazing, paradise. But Lord, one day we're going to be able to experience that. One day we will see paradise. But until then, Lord, help us to be your church. Help us to understand what we've been called to do, to be salt and light, to warn people, to talk to people, and be able to answer the questions that they might have for us. And if one person asks us, how do you believe in a flood? Hopefully by the end of this series, we'll be able to just talk to them and just explain so much to them. And Lord, we want people's questions answered so that they'll believe in the truth. So Lord, I ask you to help us on this journey, to grow as disciples, to get equipped, to become knowledgeable, and to be able to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Please bless what we do, Lord. Help us to be salt and light this week. We are your team. You are our captain. We love you, and we want to honor and glorify you this week. Help us to do that. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, King Jesus, be his church. Be his church this week. Let your mind be on that focus when you wake up and when you go out. Lord, help me be your church. Let's get the job done this week. Let's go play for our captain. All right? On the count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.